My next guest is Jaji Ives. Jaji is a 5-1 emotional manifester, and she speaks in this episode a little bit about the one channel that she has. Now, in my world, we never talk about you only have this or it's just that. Nothing is bad or good in human design, it just is. As far as manifestors go, Jaji has quite a bit of openness. She has 7 centers undefined and 2 centers defined. So she's here to emotionally impact others. And you will hear from her about how that works in her design in this episode. She speaks to the informing piece, the anger piece, and Jaji is an artist. She came from building a big global brand with an influencer type Instagram account, and she closed that brand down because she no longer had the energy for it. So Jaji talks about this pivot, and she talks about what she's doing now that actually is feeding her soul and fueling her life. So if you have been in that messy middle, if you have ever been in the place where you have felt like, my God, this business works on paper, but it doesn't work in my life anymore, then you're gonna love hearing from Jaji. So welcome, Jaji. I'm excited to get to chat with you today.
I am excited to be here. I always love talking to you.
Yeah, same. So talk to me a little bit about your human design to get us started.
So my human design, I am a 5-1 emotional manifester with single definition, and I only have 2 centers defined, my throat mm-hmm. and my emotional solar plexus through the gate 3536. So now you know everything about me.
Yeah. How do you experience that 3536 channel in your life?
Oh my gosh. I don't think I can't experience it. I am the person who, as my one friend said, because my gate 35 is actually my conscious Mercury.
Okay.
And she was like, you really embody the boundlessness of adventure, which is that I'm always the person who's like, let's just try it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, my entire life, I think I've been led by that spirit of challenge that becomes adventure. You know, like, I am not afraid to jump into an experience. I know some people think the 3536 is like this channel that can be a little intense. I call it my leap of faith channel. It's like when you get to the edge and you don't really know how things are going to work out, but you decide to go for it anyway. And then the other side, that 35, is the one who tells the story of, here's what happened when I took that leap of faith, mm-hmm. and here's what's possible for you. And I think that in my life, I didn't realize it, but my entire life, I've been that person who comes into a room, somebody's going through something, and I inevitably will have an experience, either my own or somebody else's, where I'm like encouraging them to take the leap, because even if I don't have my own experience to speak from, it's just part of who I am.
That's a beautiful way to describe that channel. I love hearing your lived experience of it.
Yes.
In Karen Carew Parker world, she talks about it as Evel Knievel energy. And yeah. Ra always described it as all's well that ends. Doesn't matter how mm-hmm. it ends. It's just all's well that ends. You got to do the thing.
You do. And I've been through some really challenging leaps of faith in my life. Like, I think you know that when I was in my 20s, I lost my brother very rapidly. Mm. And that was a leap of faith of like letting go of a person who was so integral in my life. And I know, I can only speak from my own perspective of what that mm-hmm. experience, but that shaped my entire life. Mm-hmm. I was 22 and it really shifted the trajectory because of going through that experience. And then there's been other, the time that I didn't get into graduate school that I thought I wanted to go. Instead, I got into a different graduate school that sent me to Rome for a year. And then, all these leaps of faith. I have so much evidence in my life that even when things don't go how you think they're supposed to, mm-hmm. when you say, all right, I'm going to try this, like Ra said, all's well that ends.
Yes.
It's like on the other side. And I will add that all's well that ends and gives you almost like this platform of strength. You didn't know how strong you were until you took that leap. So that's kind of been my experience through life, is doing the thing that other people might shy away from. You know, when I was postpartum with my first child, I decided it was a great time to, I got laid off from my job, which at first people would be like, oh my God, what were you going to do? Well, it gave me 6 weeks, 6 months of unemployment to figure myself out. During that time, I started my own business.
Yes.
That then I grew into like a 14-year long business that was a global brand. And if I hadn't had that shakeup of, I have to, almost like you, the kick in the butt that comes that you have to, there's no other way to go. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into this huge opportunity. And 3 years ago, you know, because that's when I think we connected.
Yeah.
I took another leap of faith.
Yeah.
I had been, you know, studying human design, and it was human design that actually helped me understand that that 14-year business that I had built, that was a global brand, was not for me anymore. And I decided to, instead of selling it, because three different buyers through three different crazy ways, it fell through. And by the third one, I knew enough about human design to know, like, this is because this isn't aligned. I'm supposed to simply leave this. Mm. And so I took that leap again into the unknown. And then here I am 3 years down the road in a completely different life that I knew was calling me, but I was holding on to an old life that I had built that everybody told me was what, that I was frankly crazy to give up. This mm-hmm. global brand that had a huge, I mean, I still get emails about it. Like, I don't do that anymore.
That's done now.
Yeah, I do something else. And people are like, well, you could do both. And I'm like, I really can't mm-hmm. because my energy knows where it wants to flow. And so I think that's been a huge thing.
Well, it's too bad that you're here talking about something that nobody else can relate to, having to walk away from something that doesn't serve them.
Right. Having to walk away from something that no longer gives you energy. I think yeah. that's even it. It's like, because it was still serving me. It was still bringing in an income, but my energy, like I had to convince myself to show up every morning. Mm. I had to find the energy, and I didn't realize how exhausted I was until I finally let it go. And it was like, as if somebody had taken off a lead vest. And I was finally able to breathe again and to run again and to be energized. And it was really one of those shifts in my life where I started paying attention to how things make me feel, which as we know, human design is all about how things, it's not about your head, it's about your body. And so that was really one of the first points where I really paid attention. And it was kind of this coming home to the wisdom that lived within me, instead of the wisdom that I was always seeking outside of myself.
And so you made the decision to walk away from that global brand. Mm-hmm. Was there a rest period in between?
There was. I planned for a rest period? Heck no. I did not think. I thought I was going to just, I was already building other things.
Of course.
And those other things started feeling heavier and heavier. Mm. And I realized that I hadn't planned it. I feel like every year my husband and I would have the same talk where I'd say, okay, well, this year things didn't build the way I thought they were going to. So I need us to invest in like another 6 months of me not having basically responsibilities outside of our family. Like I have two teens. Well, now they're teens, a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old. And it's interesting how life allows you to shift and pivot at the same time that it's asking other responsibilities for you. And at that time, my 11-year-old was going through a really rough transition time. And so I realized part of me closing my business was so that I could move my energy there. And that was also why I realized coming out of that 14-year business that I'd been running like the bros told me I should run, listening to my own intuition, but also doing a lot of stuff where I realized in the retrospect, I was pushing myself like a manifesting generator, not a manifester. Mm-hmm. And my energy was depleted. And so I entered 3 years ago, a really big rest cycle, physically, intellectually, it was like I was diving so deep into studying human design and studying embodiment practices. And it was where I shifted into, if it didn't light me up and I could release it, because sometimes you have to do stuff that doesn't light you up.
It's Thank like, you for saying that.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to make the dinner. You got to feed the children. You got to, you know, there are some, you got to. I know in this pie in the sky, I live with three other human beings who I love and care for. And there is a lot of boundary setting that I've learned in the last 3 years as well. When I will say, like, listen, I need, you know, that informing piece of being a manifester. I'll inform them. For instance, this past month, I've been doing a lot of finishing work on a project that started 3 years ago, which I thought was going to happen in a year, which is my embodied landscape human design deck. And no, it took 3 years to come to completion. And the energy this month has literally been like telling me there's nothing else that my energy wants to focus on. But I have a 14 and a 17 year old and a husband who all know how to make their own dinner, all can get themselves out of bed. And so I've basically, using that informing piece, been like, I am unavailable for anything other than this and an emergency. And so I think it's really beautiful when you start to learn like how to run your life and your business according to your design, because that is not the traditional wisdom out there. Or I won't even say wisdom, advice, because it's not wisdom. No. It's just people telling you, this is the formula that worked for me. You, if you follow this, you'll get success, which I call utter bullshit.
Same.
It's like, there is no one way. There is your way. And if it doesn't feel good in your body, I always say to like the clients I work with, if it doesn't feel good in your body, even if I'm saying, according to your design, this should be blah, blah, blah. If it doesn't feel good when I say that, investigate. I don't say just write it off. I say, explore it, investigate it, ask yourself, get curious. Ask yourself questions as to why. And that's going to give you more than just following the script, than just pushing through. You're going to end up with so much of a deeper. And that's what I love. Like when we're in CBD with your content by design, like how you and Design to Profit, your membership, like how you don't just say, here's what you should do. Like, I don't think I've ever heard you. You know, you're like, can I offer you something? And it, you know, and it's always like, and you allow it to land. And as we were talking about, you know, right before this, I was saying, you know, if somebody gives me advice as a manifester, my knee-jerk reaction is no.
Yes. Same as a manifesting generator.
Yeah. It's like my knee-jerk reaction is just no. And then I'll go and be like, all right, well, let me look and let me feel into this. I'm an emotional manifester. Let me see how this lands. Let me sit with this for a little. And then sometimes it shifts into, actually, you know what? But it has to be from me. And I think that's for every type. I don't think that's just me. I think that's all of us. We've been so trained to listen to other people's wisdom, other people's experiences, and not question them. And that's the part, like, I think it's great to listen to other people. I think it's great to learn from other people's experiences. I think it's dangerous not to question, because that's when you end up living a life that feels like somebody else's.
And so many, I would say women in particular, so many people for sure, but the women that I work with, so many are doing that before they come into human design.
Yeah.
And we've been disconnected from our bodies.
Very much
whole lives. So it's a
It's almost like we've been taught to disconnect from our bodies because we've been taught to disassociate because our bodies are screaming like, hold up a minute. I'm not really on board for this. And then, you know, and then the world's like, oh, wait, we can't have her questioning things.
No, keep pushing, keep pushing,
keep pushing, keep pushing. It's like the doctor giving birth, like keep pushing. It'll get out there eventually. But if you keep pushing, you could tear some shit and really, really mess yourself up.
So talk to me about your business now.
So my business now is, so like I said, 3 years ago when I closed that big business, I entered a rest cycle. I didn't think I was entering a rest cycle, but I've been slowly building my business and intentionally. And it's interesting because it's shifting because I have realized how much one-on-one work I still had in my business. And for a manifester, especially an incredibly undefined manifester, I'm really good at feeling into other people's energies. I'm really good at riding off of other people's energies. And I'm really not here to be sustained. I have never been the person who a 9 to 5 was for me. And so building my business, I'm actually in a point of recalibration again. I have been over the past year doing these retreat experiences, which I love doing. I'm 100%, I mean, 35, 36, if I'm not built to run experiential retreats, I don't know who is. They really resonate with me. I get so activated by them. And the problem is, you can't do that all the time, especially as a super undefined manifester. And so the thing that I've been building, which actually the creative urge that has been coming through me for 3 years, is this human design deck that explores the energies of the 64 gates and now the 14 planetary energies. And it's really emerged as a tool that I was creating for myself to understand the story that lived within me. And as it's been, like, as I was saying, the past couple months, really crystallizing into the final iteration before it launches in, knock on wood, September, if the universe collaborates with me, into a tool that I see now. It's almost like, when you're in that point of you can see the paths. I don't know if this is just me, but I see it's almost like I don't understand why I'm building something until I get to that point where it's almost ready to be birthed. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like I can see the paths branching out into what it's connecting to. And I'm in that really exciting part. And it's funny because a lot of business people say work backwards, like think of the big thing and then work back. I can't. I try, and then the big thing, like it's always, I have so many big things in the trash. And so I'm in this really beautiful place of growing my business where I'm trusting more and more those creative urges, because especially with manifestors, it's like those are the things that want to come into the world through us. And when I just follow those, they create these paths as I complete them, and then I can follow them out. And so, it's been over the past 3 years guiding people into their human design story, helping them understand themselves, being on the other side. Because I have been doing a lot of one-to-ones with people where I help them see the story of them. And it's almost like I'm the guide that helps you reclaim yourself. I'm not, I, you know, it's funny, so many people have architectures and formulas and this, that, and the other. And for me, it was always more of an intuitive guidance. I'm here to impact people. I have very few clients who, most of my clients are one or two or three sessions at most. And I have a few who choose to be impacted on a monthly basis. I have some people who have been with me for a year, someone who's almost approaching 2 years now, because they've been in this cauldron of constant transformation. And I'm like, and I always check in, I'm like, do you want to keep going? It's like permission. Like, do you want to keep being impacted? Because we can keep going, but I know that, this can be a lot of energy. And so, yeah, my business is evolving into, I think actually, as this deck comes in and to completion, I see how it's I've already been using it in the retreats that I've been facilitating. And there's other things, because I know not everyone can travel to Tulum or travel to Sedona. I mean, you should. I will say, actually, I won't say you should. It's a wonderful choice should you be able to make it. But I also see it as you can have the experience of, you know, rewriting your story, reclaiming yourself anywhere. And that's really, I think, the thing that I'm at the hub of my business. Like, that's really who I'm here to be, is to help people come back to themselves, because essentially that's what I've been doing. You know, they always say, as a coach or teacher, guide, or whatever the heck we want to call ourselves, you're essentially guiding your clients through what you've learned and what you've been through. And for me, it's been this reclamation of myself. And that's what I'm most passionate about, is helping people uncover themselves when the world has put so many labels and jobs, especially on us as women. It's like, I don't think we have to say no to everything. Like, I didn't leave my husband. I didn't abandon my children. You know, I've been with my husband for 30 years, which is wild. And he's still my favorite person.
Aww. And he's a projector.
And I mean, the biggest piece of marriage advice that I ever, that came from Human Design, which has been wonderful, is he knows that to wait for the invitation.
Especially with a manifester.
Especially with a manifester, and especially with a projector who has the 43-23 channels.
Oh, geez.
He always has insights dropping in as I'm sharing. And I'm like, I would love to hear that after I invite you.
Yeah.
Like, don't interrupt my flow to share your divine insight, because I will snap your head off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've alluded to this divine creative flow a few times. So I just want to clear that up for listeners who may not understand what that is, if they're a little bit newer to human design. So manifestors operate with this divine, whatever you believe that to be, the divine creative flow. It's just like downloads. And you move when the download comes. Ideally, you move when the download comes.
Yes.
And you don't move when it's not there.
Yes.
And that is such a huge piece of conditioning with the manifestors that come into my world. Was that for you? You're nodding, so I'm guessing yes.
Yeah.
How did you teach yourself? How did you lean into?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And the artist is taught to follow the creative muse. Mm-hmm. So there was a part of me that had already given myself permission, but it's funny, through my business before this, it was art products for children, essentially. And I would close my studio at certain times of the year, because I knew that after like the first month, the January, I would give everybody in my studio, when my kids would go back to school, those first 3 weeks, I would go into the studio and there would be things like cooking in me. You know, I get so many visions of what wants to come through me. And it was those first 3 weeks, I would clear my schedule, and I still do this, to follow that creative urge. But it was like, I was still trying to schedule it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, does it run on the schedule?
I was still like, okay. It has to wait. I'll just sketch it out in my sketchbook. And then when I have the time, it'll come through. And now I'm much better at informing people, being like, I am going to go disappear.
Right.
I am going to follow this. The other day I was in the middle of a conversation, because creative urges aren't, you know, huge all the time. Sometimes
it's
like a little thing that just drops in. Mm-hmm. And yesterday morning I was talking to my husband, and, you know, I'm in the final urge of completing this deck. And there was a big challenge. Like, I've been thinking I need to write and print this guidebook. And all of a sudden it dropped in as he was making coffee and he was saying something about work. I was like, oh my God, it's a digital guidebook with a QR code. And I'm going to go, I was like, and he's talking to me. I was like, I'm leaving. I have to go write this down. I was like, I can see it all in my head. And if I don't, I'm going to get angry.
Yes.
Just that emotion that rises up that women especially feel guilty about.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, why is my partner discussing his work making me angry? Well, it's because something's trying to come through me. And if it doesn't come through me, Karen Curry Parker describes it as creative disruption. Mm-hmm. And it's like hitting a wall. And that's really what it feels like. It's not anger, like I want to punch you. It's like this creative disruption of this divine flow that's coming through you. And then when you put, you know, the world in the way and you don't inform, I like to say informing is an act of love. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to inform. You don't have to inform every person out there. It's the people who are going to be affected. It's the people who are going to ask you to make lunch. It's the people who, you know, it's an act of love. It's sharing, because the manifester has the, I'm going to say, I hate the term repelling aura.
Me too. I call it self-contained.
Yes, I think self-contained is a much, I call it unreadable. Mm-hmm. Because after 30 years with a projector who is made to feel into other people, I now know the reason he can't read my mind is because I'm unreadable to him. Even a person who has known me intimately for 30 years, I still have to inform him about things. And it used to frustrate the hell out. It made me angry.
Yeah.
Like, why can't he just figure it out? Why can't he just read me? And then I realized it's an unreadable aura. And so that informing is letting people in. Mm-hmm. It's letting people know what's moving through you. You don't have to sit there and say, here's everything that's moving through me. You just can be like with my husband and coffee the other morning. I just said, I have an urge moving through me. I need to go. I'll be back.
Yeah.
And that was enough because I've taught him the language. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's like in relationships, how beautiful is it when we teach each other what we need? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and for him, sometimes what he needs as a projector is he needs the invitation to share what's going on. And it's funny because our relationship has always been that. I could always tell there was things in him, but he was brought up in a family where they don't really talk. Mm-hmm. And I think the first 10 years of our relationship were me teaching him. It was safe when I asked him, hey, what's going on? Giving him the invitation to actually share instead of just brushing it off. Oh, nothing. And just keep it in. Mm-hmm. And I think like, that's why with human design, we talk about all the facets. Like I say, the gates are your full story. They're like, they're the story of you. But the type, I think oftentimes is like, it's almost like our operating system.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it actually. Yeah.
And so I think both are really important. I think day to day, I reference my type more, but the big aha, like the, oh my goodness, I didn't even like those moments are where, when I'm getting into the nuances of that story, the gates that live within us, those are where my biggest, like, holy moly, I can see it now kind of thing. Like right before this, I was sharing with you for the embodied deck, the deck I'm creating, the channel 1648. Mm-hmm. And it's like that 48, the depth of wisdom that lives within you, that you've acquired, and also that just naturally lives within you, that you learn to trust. And then it comes out through that gate 16, through the throat, that enthusiasm, that zest, those skills that you have, that you're here to share. And when you speak up and share those things, like, we all get to benefit. Hello, what do you do?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I use my channels the most in my work. I mean, you use all of your design. I get that, but I feel like that's a huge thing. I would like to backtrack.
Yes.
Okay.
Please do.
Because I want to hear from you on this, because I respect you. I respect you as a human. I also, as a manifester, I feel like you're one of the few manifestors in my life who I can look at and say, okay, that's how it's done. So you're a 5-1. Thank you for what you're doing for the planet by living your design. You're a 5-1 emotional manifester. Mm-hmm. And this is going to ruffle some feathers, and I'm okay with that. It drives me apeshit when manifestors walk through the world informing everybody about everything all the time and thinking that's their job.
Oh, God.
My understanding is that as a manifestor, you inform to lower people's resistance. You inform what you're about to do. That creative urge, like you explained, that creative urge is coming through. I inform the people who it's going to affect. Yes. That's actually what informing is.
I agree. I agree completely. And it's interesting how I think there's a lot of information out there, a lot of manifestors who use information almost against themselves and against the people in the
against
world.
Other people. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that anger piece.
Yes.
I am not an angry person. And there's so many manifestors that come. Anger is an emotional cue that things are out of alignment.
Yeah, it's your
and
not
if you're
self.
A manifester and you're angry all the time, it's not a point of looking around at everyone else. That's when you get to look within and think to yourself, where am I not creating? Where am I not informing? Where am I not creating boundaries that maybe would serve me and the people around me? Like, where am I not being in my power? And where am I also betraying myself? Because I think that anger comes when we give parts of ourselves away. I know for me, the anger definitely happens on days where I feel like I'm working for everyone else.
Yeah.
And I'm depleting myself and my body is telling me, warning me, like, hey, you need to slow down. You need to this. And by the end of the day, I'm so depleted that I'm just angry. And it's not that I'm angry at the person, although sometimes it comes out at the person who's the last in my depletion line.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that is depleting me because I'm always the person who is choosing it. And that's the thing I think I hear a lot of, you know, I've also heard it, manifestors who it's almost like they find human design and instead of using it as a way to start looking at themselves, they look at the world around them and they're still in that victim mode. And I think we all start there. We all default to victim mode. But what if you, instead of victim, took back your power and took back your responsibility? And then you can make the real change instead of saying, I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to inform people because they are in my way.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's why I always say informing is an act of love and not everybody needs your love.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Not everyone needs to know. It's like, and it's exhausting. If you're constantly informing people, no wonder you're angry all the time because it's exhausting. And I will say my one studio manager years ago used to, before I knew human design, she was like, you're a micromanager. And it was a moment where I could have gotten angry and maybe I did get a little angry, but then I was like, I got curious and I thought, huh, you know what? She's right. And it's not because I need to, it's because I'm not trusting this person. And so I think that's it. It's like the more we trust ourselves and we trust our path, the less we feel the need to inform. And the more I don't know, I think I'm a pretty peaceful person because I often have already done the work to clear the path. And it's only when I feel like, and I've been there like many manifestors where I feel like people are taking my time, taking my energy, taking this. And then I'm like, hold up. Are they taking it or am I giving it?
Yeah.
Because no one can take something from you. Well, we could have a philosophical conversation about this, but I'm going to say for the most part, you're choosing to give it. Even when you're exhausted, instead of having that simple conversation where you're like, I don't have time for this right now. Or actually, I would love to help you with that, but I don't have the capacity at this moment. And that in our society, especially for women, That's why so many manifestor women I meet are really angry, because they spent their lives doing what we're supposed to, being the good girl who does and says and gives, instead of being the impact that we're here to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's also challenging. I spent a lot of my childhood hiding my power, or at least trying, because as a manifestor, you can't really hide your power.
Yeah.
Because I was uncomfortable with the impact that it had on others. And at the core, again, it was really about me. And the more I started to take responsibility for the impact that I could have with people, the more I didn't feel angry. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel depleted, because I chose the conversations.
Yeah.
If I knew someone couldn't handle my impact, I would just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was a family member. Like, there's a family member who I love deeply, who right now we're on very different sides of a spectrum. And there's certain conversations that they start with me, and I'm like, I don't think we want to have this conversation, because I know once it gets started, neither of us is going to shift. And it's really just a waste of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many people and so many moments in my life before now that I would have tried.
Mm.
Or would have gone there, because I wasn't respecting my own energy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the shift, is like, when you start respecting your own energy, that's such a, and taking responsibility for it. It's like, what if we all just took responsibility for who we are, and not in a like shameful way, but in a, I know what is best for me.
Mm-hmm.
I trust what's best for me. I trust what lives in me. That's just a really potent place to come from.
Mm-hmm.
For every type.
And
yeah.
I feel like as manifestors, it's the you show. So instead of making it about everybody else and informing everybody else what they're supposed to be doing, it's got to be you. Like, everything is about you as a manifestor.
Do you mean when you're in alignment or out of alignment? I want some clarification on that.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I just think that's the design. I feel like that's the design of someone who is an impactful manifestor. You know, it's the you show. You're okay with it being the you show. Not saying you don't have work to do all the time on the power pieces and all those little pieces. And then you inform from that place.
Yes. And it's funny, because the you show made me instantly uncomfortable.
Ah, interesting.
And I also recognize how often it is, and how I shied away from that as a child. Like I said, I spent a lot of my early years hiding my impact.
Yeah.
Trying to shrink into a corner, which for a manifestor is laughable.
Yeah.
Because people sense you when you come into a room. Like, I, the other week I was at a, I went to an aura photographer, and I stepped into her booth, and she didn't know I was a manifestor, but as she took my photo, and she's like, oh my God, you have big energy. And she's like, it's already developed. And then we got talking, and she knew human design, and I was like, oh, I'm a manifestor. She's like, oh, okay.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And it was really interesting, because like, my aura was blue and green. And anyway, you know, throat and heart or emotion. But the you show is, I want to come back to that, because the way that made me feel, I think you're right. As manifestors, like, we're here to impact in the things that we're here to impact in. That's not everything. That's not every moment.
Right.
That's not every, you know, and so I think that's where the you show, because it's like, I can walk into a room and I don't need it to be about me, because just my energy being there. And it's in one of the women who I've done retreats with, my friend Shabala, she's like, sometimes when we're in a retreat, she'll be like, Jaji, I need you to like go over there, because my energy was impacting people, even though I wasn't intending it.
Right.
And like you said, it's not something you can turn off.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that you can feel shame about.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel pain about. And ultimately, it's becoming comfortable with like owning your impact and owning that the things that those creative urges that come through you, it's not really even the me show. It's like the me as the vehicle for mm-hmm. this thing that wants to move through me to come into the world. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like a mother and a child. You give birth to your child, you're proud of your child, you're invested in your child, and yet they're completely their own thing once they come into the world and other people start interacting with them.
Yeah.
And that's really what a creative urge, it really is like a birth. And you go out and like, there's things that I've created, many things I've created over the years that I'm really proud of. And then people would try to give me ownership of them. There's almost a part of me that's like, yeah, and it came through me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's a part of me, and maybe that's something I need to get curious about. It's like, why do I hesitate to really stand in ownership of things? So that's a good question for me, actually.
Something to ponder after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's backtrack to your business now. You talked about a little bit about your human design coaching or whatever we're calling it. Mm-hmm. None of us know what to call ourselves anymore.
I call myself a guide. I'm like, a guide for life realignment.
Mm, yeah, love that. And you've got the cards, which are coming out in September.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
They are coming out into the world, whether they're readily available for everyone or in September, I'm doing 3 retreats or 3 events.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to be a facilitator up at a camp in Canada, Soulful Camp up in Canada at Golden Lake, Ontario, which is an amazing event. It's basically like summer camp for spiritual women. Mm-hmm. On Golden Lake in Ontario, run by 2 of my friends, Jenny and Heather, who have done a phenomenal job of creating a space for women to heal each other and themselves. And so I'm doing a workshop on human design and using the cards.
Okay.
To help ourselves understand the embodiment of ourselves and to run people through a little bit of rewriting their story.
Hmm.
And then I'm coming back for a day, and then I'm going to the High Desert Human Design Conference.
Okay.
Where I'm going to be presenting there as well.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm going to be using the cards to explore our incarnation cross, which is our sun and earth placements, and as sort of a catalyst for exploring the story that lives within you. Because I'm an artist, I'm also a writer and a storyteller. And I think that the most potent thing we can do is take back our stories and rewrite them. And then at the end of the month, I'm coming back and I'm like, I'm basically hopping back into my house for a day at a time in September. Wow. And then I'm going up to, the Poconos, which is only 2 hours away from me in Philadelphia, for Rise Gathering, which is another camp for women up in the Poconos. It's like the same thing as Soulful Camp up in Canada. It's Rise Gatherings down here in the US. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be facilitating with the cards again to have people be able to intuitively explore their human design. Because I think that's one of the biggest things is human design can become so heady.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I've always connected with it is intuitively and through images and words. And I really love to give people back their sovereignty to rewrite, because sometimes we read something about our human design and it doesn't quite resonate with us.
Mm-hmm.
But when we can sit with it and explore it, and it's funny, I'm looking at my own human design card here, which in the deck, I'm gate 3536. And for each one, I have a sentence at the bottom. That is like the essence of that gate. And this one says, explore crisis with curiosity and compassion to shift waves of chaos into grounded clarity. And I was like, oh, wait, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, that's what I do with my clients. And that's it. And so isn't it interesting? And knowing my human design, even knowing my human design, sometimes I forget, oh, wait, that's what I do.
Yeah. But you're busy living it. And I think that's like one of the missing links in the human design space. And I feel like that part is getting worse, where it's like so many people are trying to learn their human design and know their human design. But it's like they're so like, how many generator types do you work with who have no clue how to access their sacral?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
95, 99%. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. It's,
well, and it's interesting because like for every design part, like no matter whether you're a generator, manifestor, et cetera, I always say, come back to your body, like come back to your own wisdom.
Yeah.
And because I think that even when a system becomes something that disconnects you from yourself, instead of encourages you to be curious about yourself, it's not working. It's like when the system is more of the expert than you are, it's not working.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that, you know, maybe, I mean, I am a heretic in human design.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So maybe that's what makes me a little bit of a heretic, is like, I really, with all of this, it's been such an intuitive experience. Even with that one line, like, I love myself, like the stacks of books that I have on my desk would, are endless. I have books that I wish I could read because they're just sitting there. And I just feel like maybe if I touch them one day, I'd be
Osmosis.
Maybe I already have. Maybe it already has happened. But I think that everything lives within us. And, you know, I grew up in a Sufi community. That's where my full name is actually Zsa Zsahan. Zsa Zsi is my nickname. And Zsa Zsahan, growing up in that Sufi community, the teacher who didn't pass, he passed away when I was 10, but I spent the first 10 years of my life pretty much daily hearing him speak. And he didn't have notes. He didn't have like, he was basically connecting to his own experiences and the wisdom that lived within him to share things that he would answer our questions on the spot. And, you know, and the beautiful thing is there's transcripts, so I can go back and look at the questions that I asked him as a 6-year-old, as a 7-year-old.
So cute.
Yeah. And they were never like, why is the sky blue? It was, what is God? What is consciousness? Like, I was always that kid who was asking the questions. And it's interesting because I can go back as an adult and read the answers that he gave me. And I realize how ingrained they are in me, not because he told me them and I like committed them to memory, but more because those answers also lived within me. And even though I was asking those questions, at my core, I knew those answers, because I look at those answers now and I'm like, oh, that's the thing I used to, before I even asked that question. If you asked me that question, that was my response without like the nuances of specificity. But I think the more that, but you know, people who trust themselves are hard to control. So that's why they don't like trust themselves.
Yes. Yes. And it takes time to come back to that.
It does. We've spent a lifetime distrusting ourselves.
Yeah.
And practicing making other people the expert. That's one of the things that I do with clients most, is really just the moment I love most in a session is when someone looks at me because of something they said with this, like these wide eyes of wonder of, oh my gosh, that just came out of my mouth and it solved my problem.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're welcome.
You have the answers. Yeah.
You have the answers. And some, I think like, As human beings, the conversations we have are where the answers live. You know, that's why I don't think, you know, going up for me, going into a mountain and just meditating. I mean, maybe I'd have conversations with the voices in my head instead.
But again, you have a family.
Again, you're probably not. Yeah. I go hiking in the woods instead of, you know, into the caves and, you know, wherever in the jungles.
Yes, but you can find yourself wherever you are.
That's the beauty of, honestly, I think women, especially mothers, we can find a moment for ourselves anywhere. Mm-hmm. The ability to, I don't need to go to a Buddhist temple to find silence. I can go to the bathroom.
As long as you don't have toddlers, you can go to the bathroom.
I can literally stand in the kitchen and be making a cup of tea and tune everyone out and, you know, have those things come through me. I can't remember who it was, but somebody was saying, Jay Shetty. He was saying, as a monk, his teacher told him, like, if you can meditate on a train that's busy, that's much more valuable than, like, you know, going to a temple and being able to do it in silence, because that's real life. And it's like, we're here to live.
Yeah.
We're here to have connections with others. And I value my alone time. I'm a single definition. Like, trust me, I value my alone time. And I also love the conversations I have with people, because my conscious son is gate 12. The things that pop out of my mouth when I'm in the middle of having a conversation that come through and channel, it's like, whoa, did you catch that? Because I want to know that for later, but
you'll never remember it.
Yeah. Oh, I 100%,
it's gone.
It's gone. And I hope you were recording. I say that often.
So talk to me a little bit about Design to Profit and the connections that you've made there. Mm-hmm. Where does this fit into your support system in your business? Or does it, I guess?
It does. And, you know, I would say the women who are in there, some of them have become collaborators. Mm. Most of them have become friends. I think the only ones who haven't are because I haven't been around them enough. Mm. It's like there's just this collection of people who you've drawn into this community that really supports each other. And I think one thing that I was worried about when I joined Design to Profit was I was already a human design guide, as I called myself. And I was like, well, does it mean I'm less of a guide? I'm less knowledgeable that I need Vicky? I think I'm just to be totally frank. And then I was like, what? That's just bullshit. Like, that's just total insecurity. And you have all of, like, I'm always amazed at your ability to look at the cop, because I'm a good writer.
You're an amazing writer.
Yeah,
yes. I remember the first thing that I read of yours in Content by Design, and I'm like, what is she doing here? It's so good.
Well, and so, and thank you. And I also always, when you have notes, I pay attention because they're always spot on and they always make it better. Mm-hmm. And for people who don't consider themselves good writers, like, that I think is one of, like, I think the hidden gems maybe that I wasn't expecting, because the human design aspect was maybe what brought me in, but it's also the way that you have this ability to unearth from us what we are missing, like what we're not seeing for ourselves. You know, and so I think that's what keeps me in there, is the ability to, through those conversations with the other women who are in there as well, because sometimes people will, you know, we're all on these calls together because they're group calls, and you'll be sharing what you're working on. And inevitably, sometimes we have to ignore the chat because people will be coming up with solutions for you. And I love that. It's like there's not competition in there. There's collaboration and there's support. And a lot of us are human design, you know, guides, readers, whatever, but we're also different. Mm-hmm. And also who someone is an integral part of who their clients are going to be. So the clients who are drawn to me are for me. And the clients who are drawn to someone else, like, I'm not out there to get everybody. Mm-hmm. God, I don't have time.
Yeah.
Like, and so I love that, you know, and the Facebook group, which I'm not in as much because I've been off social media for a long time to work on, you know, writing everything. But people put what they're struggling with in there and ask feedback. And I'm always impressed by, like, the people who come in and give feedback. And, it's just this really beautifully supportive community. I think especially as business owners, oftentimes we're building on our own, or we're building in communities where they're trying to tell us what to do.
Yep.
And I feel like that's a big difference. It's like in Content by Design, you are offering us the, sometimes even just asking us a question that then catalyzes us to find the answer for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts is it's like for so many of us independent business owners who are building it on our own or have taken the course or done the this or done the that, it's like just having a community where like, you know, there's the co-working sessions with Andrea, which I think I've been on one or two. I know for some people they show up all the time. Yeah. For me, I'm often like off with my thoughts in a corner, and I'm usually the one coming in asking for feedback when I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah.
But I, you know, and then the human design hot seats, and there's so many facets that I love, but I will say like the, just getting the feedback from the group and being able to bring, like I know some people come in and they've got ideas, but they don't have it crystallized.
Right. Yeah.
And you can look at their design and something they may not even think of all of a sudden will drop in. And that's been one of the biggest things. Like for me, like I said, I'm a really good writer, and there's a difference between being a good writer and being good at writing marketing and copy. Yes.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I write from an emotional perspective and then forget like, oh wait, you've got to like put a little, you know, put a few more stepping stones in there.
Yeah. And I feel like oftentimes, and it's like this for all of my fifth line people who I love. But I feel like a lot of times you and I've been like, oh, your fifth line is showing there. And as soon as I, like, you know, you're like, oh, I was trying to soften my fifth line there. Or, oh, I was trying not to, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. And you call me out on that, which I really appreciate, because a lifetime of practice.
Yeah.
A lifetime of softening my fifth line.
Yeah.
Does not serve anyone.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when I go back, I'm always looking for evidence. I think, you know, maybe it's like, it's my gate 44. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking at what I've learned from the past and realizing when I don't soften my impact, when I show up, when I share what I've got, mm-hmm. that's when I make the biggest waves. That's when I have, it's when I soften and try to be like, maybe, perhaps I invite you.
Yeah.
And Vicky's like, just say it, Jaji.
Yeah.
Just deliver it. Just inform and impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do. So Jaji, also just for our listeners, Jaji stayed at my cottage last year when she was on her way to this retreat, because it's kind of in my neck of the woods, the Canadian retreat. And I remember we were talking at night and you initiated me, impacted me through your fifth line. You called me on something that in the most beautiful way. And I often hold that up. And Chelsea is a friend of mine who's also in our community. She's a 5-1 as well. And so many times fifth line profiles think they have to be assholes in order to bring that heretic voice out, in order to move people. But it's not like that. I have been impacted in the most beautiful ways through my fifth line people. Mm-hmm. It's just owning it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thank you. Cause I think that is, it's, I'm always the one who's like the motherly advice. Cause I, you know, it's, you can be strong and you can be kind.
For sure.
It's like kindness is a choice, but directness is also a choice.
Yes.
And so sometimes it's most kind to be direct.
I would argue that it's almost always most kind to be direct.
There's me softening the fifth line. It's like, yeah. I'm offering, I'm like, yes, it is always most kind to be direct. And as women, mm-hmm. sometimes we shy away from it because of past experiences.
Yeah.
And I know for me, the softening is definitely from past experiences. And I know that me softening myself or trying to make myself palatable is just watering it down and serves nobody.
Yeah.
And yet I also still do it.
Yeah, that's okay. You're human. Call me out on it. Yeah. So what's your thing that you're very most excited about for the rest of 2026?
Getting this embodied, this human design deck out of me, out into the world. It has been 3 years since this creative urge dropped in because I was studying human design and I wanted to understand the embodied experiences of the people who had the gates and channels that I didn't. Mm. And even the people who did, I was always curious, like asking the question, wanting to know how it showed up in their life. And so that's what spurred this whole project, honestly, was I was interviewing people, I was taking pictures of them, and then I started painting them and these flower elements started connecting to the gates. And it's interesting because earlier on in the project, I was just choosing flowers that I was like, intuitively, this sort of feels right. And as I've been going back, I've been looking at the flower essences, and they're always the flowers for the embodied landscape that are for each specific gate. If you, for the flower essences, they support the out of alignment, like the challenges in that gate.
Interesting.
And so then I started intentionally doing it towards the end, but it was always the intentional, like, what flower essence do I think? And it would drop in. It wasn't like I was getting on Google being like, you know, and so there's this intuitive nature to it, but it's really about these exploring the lived experience. So I'm excited to bring that out into the world. My intention, like I said, I'm bringing it to all three workshops that I'm running in September. And my intention is to launch it on Kickstarter so that anyone can support it and get their own deck, because it's a tool for self-exploration. And I also think, from coaches who have gotten their hands on it, that it's a tool that is going to be really impactful for using, if you're a human design coach, with your clients as well. Because I'm making it into something that really is, for me, the focus is on understanding our story, ourselves, in an intuitive, in a beautiful way too. I mean,
yeah, they're gorgeous. Pretty. Yeah, they're so gorgeous. Yeah, you can feel the energy in them. We're frozen.
I'm frozen or you're frozen?
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Was I frozen?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just said my internet connection was unstable, which means my kids probably woke up.
So tell me where people can find you. We'll put do you have the Kickstarter information that I can put in the show notes for people?
For right now, people can find me at jajiives.com.
Okay.
And on that front page, there is a link to sign up to be notified when the Kickstarter goes live.
Awesome.
And so sign up for that. And there's going to be some things coming up. I am in the birth process right now. But once the birth process is done, that's when everything else will launch. And so that's why right now, but though, if you sign up for my mailing list, you get to be part of the birth process. Because the only emails I've been sending have been opportunities, like one of the opportunities that is gone now, but was actually to become part of the deck as a celestial patron, which I started. It's the 64 gates. And then I decided to add in the 14 celestial bodies that are in your human design chart. So everything, including Chiron. And I invited people in as patrons. So that was the one opportunity you could have to essentially have an artwork created of yourself that is a planet, a planetary energy, and become part of the deck. And the difference was you get to, when the deck is all done, keep the artwork, which is created with crystal watercolors, because I use amethyst and kyanite and all sorts of yummy crystals to create these intuitive portraits. That opportunity is gone because every celestial patron or position was purchased.
So good.
Yeah. So that was actually really fun. That was a creative urge that dropped in. I was like, I need to fund my last go round of my deck. And then that dropped in. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. And the spots sold out so quickly to my list that the only thing I had left was Saturn. Okay. Because everybody thinks Saturn is like this bad planet, but I see it as the teacher who really just wants you to get the lesson.
Yeah.
And so finally somebody chosen for Saturn, and
good.
I'm actually painting her portrait later today.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
okay. So I will link up your website in the show notes and make sure that you go there and get into Zhaozhi's world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right now it's the embodied landscape. Cause, my one-to-one coaching, I think I have as few spots available, but I've pretty much closed down my calendar.
Yeah.
Cause
get this done.
Cause I'm a manifester and I've got to pay attention to the energy. Otherwise I get angry, and you really don't want to be coached by somebody who's angry.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. No. So. Well, thank you for being here. I really appreciate you, Zhaozhi. I love having you in the community.
I love being part of the community. And for anybody who's on the fence, I say, feel into your body. Don't go into your head, and see if it's, and feel if it's the right place for you. And if you, I mean, you've got my website, you've got my Instagram. If you're curious about it, reach out to me. I'll gladly tell you even more about my personal experience.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And thanks for being here.
Thank you.